Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 42, Rescued, Healed, and Restored. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on September 30th, 2018.
So one of the things I think that we can take away from the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, is that there's a lot of people lacking rest. They haven't found that place of rest, that place of contentment, that place of peace in their hearts, that and knowing that God has things taken care of and that He's on the throne and that He's going to take care of every situation and circumstance, no matter what it looks like on the outside. And even a lot of believers are just, you know, struggling with coming to a place of rest and peace in their hearts and in their minds because of stuff that's going on in their lives, in their families, and in the world around them. But Hebrews chapter 4, starting verse 9, said, "So there is a special rest." And in parentheses or in the footnote, it says, "or a Shabbat rest, a Sabbath rest, waiting for the people of God." So everybody say, there is a rest. It's a special rest. So if that rest exists and we're not obtaining it, we're not walking in it, we're not living in it, then something is wrong, right? Because the writer of the Hebrews said there's a rest, a special rest, a Sabbath rest. On the Sabbath, they were not to do any kind of work. They were just to reflect on their lives, reflect on God, and take a rest, take a break. There's that kind of a rest waiting for the people of God. Verse 10 says, "For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world." Verse 11 said, "So let us do our best to enter that rest." So we have a part to play in it. So one of the issues could be that the rest is there, we're just not taking steps to get into it. And then it says, "But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall." So if you read the whole book of Hebrews, one of the things that you find out is that the reason that they didn't enter into the rest was because of unbelief and disobedience. They didn't step into their rest. First they didn't believe, and then they didn't obey. So if we want to come to that place of rest, if we want to enter into that place of rest, we can't be like the Israelites that were coming out of Egypt, but we must be determined to take steps to enter into that rest. And then verse 12 begins to tell you how. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He's the one to whom we are accountable." So one of the things that suggests to us is if we're going to enter into the rest, we have to be accountable to God. And if we're not accountable to God, we're going to be exposed. So I guess it's a choice, you know, what would you rather be, exposed or accountable? It's a lot better to be accountable, right? I know, not getting much response there. But here's the good news. Verse 14 says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe." So if one of the things that kept the Israelites out of the promised land was unbelief, God is directing us here. If we want to enter into that rest, it starts with believing that we have a high priest who's entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. And you know why He entered there. He entered there to ever intercede for you. He's the one that's interceding on your behalf so that you make it, so that you enter into that rest. That's the good news. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. Verse 15 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses." Aren't you glad for that? For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that this is a new day. Your mercies are new this morning. Your word says that, and we can confirm that. Your mercies are new this morning, just like they are every morning. Thank you, Lord, for your great faithfulness to keep your word and to perform it in our lives. We just ask you today, as we commune together with each other and with you, that we would receive what we need to step into the rest that you have for us. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 is really a narrative about Jesus, but it's also a narrative about you. It's a prophecy about Jesus. But it's about you because he commissioned you and because he lives inside of you. So Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." I mean, that is probably some of the best news in the Bible. Because since Adam and Eve fell into sin, there was a need for a Savior, a Redeemer, a Rescuer, to come on the scene and to be this kind of a sovereign Lord, anointed to bring good news to poor people, to fix the brokenhearted person and comfort him, and to proclaim the release of the prisoners, the captives, to set them free. It's the best news in the world. In the Greek version, it also adds, "and the blind will see." So one of the signs of the Messiah coming on the scene, even in the New Testament, you find the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees questioning Jesus about whether he was the Messiah. And all along, he was giving them all the signs. He was preaching good news to the poor. He was comforting the brokenhearted. He was proclaiming freedom to the captives. He was setting the prisoners free, those that were imprisoned with sickness, disease, and weakness, and all kinds of things. He was setting them free, and he was making the blind to see. So all the signs were unmistakable that this is Jesus, this is Yeshua, the Messiah, the one sent from God. Verse 2 says, "He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor is come," or it could be translated to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the Jubilee year, the year when everything was returned. The debtors were set free from their debt. Property that had been taken as from people was returned to them and restored to them. And now they were free to live in their inheritance. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. So one of the things about covenant is that God promises to be an enemy to your enemies. And that's pretty good news. Because when God's an enemy to your enemies, then you don't have to defend yourself because he's defending you. He's taken up your case and he's protecting you. Verse 3 says, "To all who mourn in Israel," or in Zion, "he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." Doesn't that sound like entering into your rest to you? That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like the place where God wants us to be. Verse 4 says, they will rebuild the old ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. Verse 6, "You will be called the priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches." So can you see how you fit in this picture of rest that God is describing here, that comes through knowing Jesus the Messiah and receiving him as your Lord? Verse 8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them." And when God makes an everlasting covenant with him, we're going to celebrate covenant this morning by receiving communion together, by participating and partaking of communion. When God releases covenant to you, that means that everything that's yours becomes his, and everything that's his becomes yours. And he becomes the one that's your defender, the one who's defeated all of your enemies, the one who will fight for your case, the one who will stand in that place and protect you and guard you and take up your case, your situation. Verse 9 says, "Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in the robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels." Verse 11, "The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere." So this is a really, really awesome picture of that place of rest, that place of deliverance, that place of blessing that God wants to take his people. And the way he does it is through covenant. Jesus was the one who ratified that covenant with his own precious blood, the Bible says. He became the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth, the one who guaranteed that the covenant would belong to all those who would believe on him. In the New Testament, in I think the book of John, it says, "To as many as received him, to those who believe on his name, he gave right to become the children of God." In Romans, Paul describes it this way. It says that Jesus reconciled us to his Father, and then he gave us a ministry of reconciliation to take to the world around us. So we're covenant people with a job to do, with a work to do, but in order to do that work effectively and powerfully, we have to come to that place of rest and enter into that rest. And the way that we would receive that ability, that anointing to become and to enter into that rest is to believe and receive of the covenant blessing that he's got for us. But in order to do that, we need to be rescued, healed, and restored. Because if we're not walking under the redemption from the curse of the law that Jesus provided for us when he went to the cross, if we're not walking in the light of that redemption, if we're not walking in healing and restoration, then we can't enter into the rest in a way that God wants us to do that. So let's take a look at Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 and verse 6. The psalmist says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you." If we want to be a people of rest, if we want to be a people that's rescued, healed, and restored, we need to recognize that early we need to seek God. He says, "I will remember you," in verse 6, "upon my bed and meditate upon you in the night watches." If we want to enter into a rest, we need to continually seek after God early in the morning and late at night, and to put ourselves in a place of relationship with him where we're valuing our time with him so that we can be open to receive everything that he has to us. To live in divine health, you're going to be extreme by most people's standards because you're going cross-grain with the way the world is. They expect that you have to get sick and old in order to die, and old and sick in order to die, and sick and sicker in order to die. But you can age well, amen, and you can live in divine health, yes, and you can go to heaven full of strength and full of vision and full of God's power and full of his presence and full of his anointing like the people of old who sought after God. Moses climbed the mountain at 120 years old. The Bible says his vision wasn't abated, his strength was not abated, and his vision wasn't dimmed. It was amazing. David died of an old age in his bed. Jacob blessed his children before he went to be with the Lord. So you don't have to be sick and broken and beat in order to leave this world. You can live in divine health. But when you do that, by other people's standards, you're going to be an extremist. You'll be extreme about the word. You'll be extreme about faith. You'll be extreme about your prayer life. You'll be extreme about your confession of the word. You may be facing a sickness so severe that you need more than just a few moments of prayer or a few moments of word. And you'll know what to do because the word will sustain you. And God will sustain you when you begin to seek after him early in the morning till late at night. Maybe a quick prayer just isn't getting it with your case. And when a quick prayer isn't getting it, that's when the word counts. That's when meditating in the word day and night counts. There are weapons that we fight with. There are weapons of our warfare that we can fight back with. And we need to use those weapons. We've talked about those many times. Meditation in the word. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about surrounding yourself with people of faith. We've got friends. We've had friends over the years, you know, that have been faced with death, you know, where they got sick and they were down at death's door. And their family members wouldn't let anybody in the hospital room unless they were going to speak faith, speak the word, and be positive over the person who was sick and apparently dying. And those people came back from the edge of death and are now worshiping God and praising God and preaching the gospel and living for God. So you have to be careful what you surround yourself with. Even Jesus put people out of the room before he prayed in certain cases. The little girl, Tabitha, that was dead, where the people outside were scorning Jesus because he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. He put those people out of the room. And he only took in his disciples and the parents of that little girl when he ministered to them. So he was careful about certain cases when he was ministering. Sometimes, like on one case, he took a blind person out of the city and then ministered to him because he wanted to get away from their unbelief and the spectator sport that they had for watching him minister to people. So this morning I want to talk, though, about another weapon that we have, the weapon of communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In other words, do this as a memorial. "This is my body that's broken for you. Do this as a memorial." And this was indicative and predictive of the death he was just about to die, because this was on the day before his death on that Friday. In the same way, he said, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me," or again as a memorial. Verse 26 explains, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In other words, you're proclaiming, "I'm a covenant person. I'm covered by the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ." In some of the New Testament renditions of this particular occasion, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for the remission of your sins. When sins go into remission, that means they're as if they never were. If you were diagnosed with cancer, for example, and the doctor said your cancer has gone into remission, that means it's disappeared. It's gone off the scene. No longer can be detected. So how do you use communion as a weapon? How can that be one of the weapons of your warfare? Well, some people think they have to wait until, you know, we have communion in church and receive communion. But really, Jesus said, "Whenever you eat this bread and whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He didn't really put any limitations on when you could receive it or how many times. He just said, whenever. Whenever you do, you're declaring covenant. So this can become for you a mighty weapon. In the morning, before anything else happens, if you're under attack or you need a booster shot, you can take communion, receive communion, have fellowship with God, commune with him, and receive covenant blessing from him. You could say something like, Lord, I dedicate my body all day today to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could say, I take Jesus' pure blood shed for me for the remission of my sins. And then you could begin to thank him and worship him and praise him for setting you free from sin and from sickness and disease and weakness and infirmity. You don't have to wait for church or for some other person to decide they want to receive communion with you. You can just do it. Then what you could do is you could access some audios or videos, some teaching ministry, some ministry that will keep your focus of your mind and your spirit on the things of God all day long. You can put in your earbuds, or you can put it on your CD players if you've got ancient things like that, and put it in your car. You can listen to, you can receive teaching and ministry all day long. Saturate yourself with the anointed word of God. Listen to them throughout the day. Keep it in front of you. The Bible says that we should keep his word in front of us day and night. We should meditate on his word day and night. He said, then we would make our way prosperous, and then we would have good success. So when you're facing really a severe trial, you need to keep that word in front of you, because you need to keep your focus there and not on the problem, the situation, and the circumstance. Otherwise, the circumstances will begin to take you down. In the afternoon, you could worship and receive communion again and remind yourself of the covenant of his blood, that you're part of the covenant family of God, and begin to talk to yourself about your God, and begin to talk to the devil about your God, and begin to talk to your problem about your God, and begin to speak to your mountain about your God. Because in doing that, you take all of the emphasis and the focus off of what the devil's doing now, or what somebody else around there is doing now, and you put the focus on what God has already done for you through the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, what he's done to set you free, what he's done to deliver you, how he's helped you and lifted you up. Then at bedtime, you can receive communion again and praise yourself all the way to sleep. And if you wake up during the night, you can put on the healing scripture audios that we have, or some other tape or CD or DVD, or do something that keeps your focus off of that problem, situation, and circumstance, and gets it back on the solution, the answer that God has provided you through Jesus Christ. This is a powerful weapon. And many times people don't realize they have this at their disposal. All you have to do is to step into it. All you need to do is to walk into the things that God has provided for you, because the weapons of your warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. They're mighty through God to demolish strongholds. So if there's something that set itself against you, whether it's a severe sickness or a big problem or situation or circumstance, you have the weapons that you need to fight back with. And those weapons are powerful. Those weapons are mighty. And this weapon of communing with God, fellowshipping with God, letting the Holy Spirit move and operate in your life, restoring you, putting you back into the place where your peace and your joy return, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord is the strength of your life. He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's your God in whom you trust. You can walk in that. You can live in that. You can count on it day in and day out if you just take the weapons that God has given you. You don't have to wait till the last Sunday of the month in order to receive. Jesus said, as often as you drink it, you do this in remembrance of me, in 1 Corinthians 11:25. So if you're under serious attack of the devil, Push all the thoughts of sickness and disease and weakness out of your mind. Push them out and replace them with the Word of God. Replace them with the promises of God. The Bible says His promises are yes and amen to those who believe. So we can keep our minds clear and free from the debris of the enemy that he's trying to sow, that unbelief and weakness and expectation of bad things. We can counter it with the Word of God. Galatians 3:13 says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree.'" So one of the issues is a lot of times the devil starts to beat you up with your past, but you need to beat him up with his future, because his future isn't so good either. So when you recognize the redemption that Jesus has given you, that he has paid the price for your freedom, for your healing, for your wellness and wholeness, you can begin to step in to victory. Praise the Lord. You have been rescued. You have been healed. You have been restored. And that restoration process will continue if you keep walking in the Word of God, if you keep that life flowing into you and continue to dispel all the lies of the enemy and get them out of your lives. You've been rescued, you've been healed, and you can walk in restoration of your healing. So we're going to break into focus groups, and there's a scripture in your bulletin that you can meditate on and talk about, and then we're going to come back and receive communion this morning. So God bless you as you discuss these scriptures. Okay, I've asked Tina if she would just give a short testimony, because some of the things that we've been talking about today, she had to implement in her walk to health and healing and wellness and wholeness. And so we just want to receive from what she learned and the things that God has done in her life.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for this body. I'm so thankful for Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen. It is just such a blessing to be in a place where you are lifted up and encouraged and having people come around. It makes a huge, huge difference. And I was talking to Enoch recently. I just feel so grateful from the depths of my heart, because I feel that, you know, it's been a while. I met the Lord radically after I came out of high school and did some mission work and stuff, and then transitioning to living in Kentucky for a while, we didn't really have a body around us a lot there. And so there was definitely a season, and it has been a refreshing time to be here. And so we're so grateful just for being here. And I'm so grateful that you all have continued to sow the word and the truth, which is truly gives life. And so I'm thankful for that. I was thinking actually this past week, as I was meditating and confessing, this word stood out to me, and I wanted to share it this morning because I feel like this is what impacted me so much. And it's from Isaiah 55:11, and it says, "So will my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish," well, here, I'll read this translation, "it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." And I found that interesting also. That's the verse that I love and, you know, confess and believe. And I was reminded, the Lord put it in my heart this week, that the previous verse is actually talking about the rain and the snow coming down and watering the earth and bringing forth seed. And so I was reminded again about the power of the word of God, that is seed and always bears forth and always brings forth. But what a promise. "So will my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty." And so thinking about how I feel that I have grown in this area specifically is that developing that faith sense, not what we see, what we feel, what we can touch, what we hear, but developing and growing that sense of faith on the Word of God. And I'm so thankful because in my life, I think I've shared this before, but I've memorized a lot of scripture. And so there's something different about it being here and being able to quote it than it coming out with faith and truth that you know that this is what God's word says. So in the midst, actually, this past month, me and the kids were outside. Actually, this past week, me and the kids were outside and Johan and Kezia found this little mushroom, okay, under our pine trees. It's an Earth Star mushroom. It's very cute. It looks like a little flower and it has a little ball on the top and it obviously puffs out its spores, but it's a really cute, safe little mushroom. And I immediately remembered last year, this time, was the time this past week that I was walking after I came out of the hospital with the kids around the backyard trying to do a nature walk and I couldn't complete the circle and I sat down in the picnic table and the kids brought that mushroom to me. And so this week we found that mushroom and I told Enoch, I said, I feel very reflective because of seeing that mushroom. I remember seeing it last year. But all that to say that especially last year when symptoms continued to come, believing and standing on the word of God, not what we see, not what we feel, not what we hear. And so I am continuing to choose to walk that out. You know, even with situations, you know, this past week with Aaron not feeling well and, you know, I'm not choosing to go the route of fear. But I feel more so than ever that we live and breathe and have our life based on this word because it's true. And so that's what I have grown in and continue to feel whatever the circumstances are around us. His word, when it is spoken, it goes forth and it will always accomplish. So even in the midst of sickness or disease last year, when pain and nausea continue to overtake my body at nighttime, laying there in fear and dread, it was no. Mind, this is focus here. Quote this, speak it and get it inside of your spirit. So that it comes out with faith and power, and you'll see the fruit of God's word always, even in the midst of symptoms. You know, we don't force God's word to work, you know, but I feel like it's such a similarity to the Israelites walking their battles out in the promised land. We have to continue to take the word and push back the enemy and push back the enemy and push back the enemy to claim the promised land that he's already given us. And that's what I'm reminded of last year, this whole past year, but especially last season. When I went through that time, is you just continue to push back the enemy with the word of God because it will always produce the fruit. It will always bear forth what God said it's going to bear forth if you stand strong and hold on to it and get it in your spirit. And I feel that there is a working there. It is easy to neglect, you know, wanting to get the word inside. But I feel like the more that I am faithful and diligent to confess daily and meditate daily, it comes out in those circumstances with faith and power to really see to see those results. So yeah.
Thank you, Tina. That was awesome because, you know, so many times people choose to take the stories of something that didn't work for somebody. You know, you talk to them about healing and then somebody reminds them, oh yeah, but somebody else had this and it didn't work for them and so forth and so on. But instead, we ought to be looking with faith at the people who've succeeded. The Bible says that through faith and patience, we'll inherit the promises if we'll follow after the example of those who have done that before. So I really, really appreciate that testimony. And I knew it's been about a year since Tina went through all of those issues. So Lord has really, really, really touched her life and done an awesome thing. So anyway, we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. So, I mean, if you've struggled with something, don't quit now because the best is yet to come. And victory is around the corner. You just have to keep stepping into your breakthrough and keep confessing God's word and believing it above all the circumstances, situations, symptoms, and other things that the devil would use to steal, kill, and destroy with. So God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to remind you, too, that the Word of God says, and I think it's in 1 Peter, that we should become a partaker, that we have become a partaker of His divine nature through the great and precious promises of His Word. And if you think about that, God's not sick. He's not diseased. He's not weak. So if we're a partaker of His divine nature, how can we be a partaker except through communing with Him, amen, having fellowship with Him, amen, being a covenant partner with Him? And through that, we are partakers of His divine nature. And that nature can explode inside of us, encourage us when we're down, lift us up, strengthen us. And that nature, that divine nature, conquered everything that's wrong, bad, diseased, weak, or whatever. That divine nature conquers it all, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that in the book of Mark, that the disciples, when they were around Jesus, that they went out and they anointed the sick with oil and healed them. And that they took His word and preached the good news to people who needed good news. And when they came back, they were excited. They were thrilled that they had seen demons come out of people, that they had seen the sick healed, that they had seen all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. And Jesus commended that. He just said, don't forget, your name's written in the book of life. To put some perspective on all of that, that we're not looking for just signs, wonders, and miracles, but we're looking for the long term, when our communion with Him will be at His banqueting table, when He's taken the new wine and the new Jerusalem, at that great feast, when we all are united with Him around His throne room. So there's great days ahead, and even though our country is going through some dark times, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. And we need to proclaim this gospel to the ends of the earth, because He's coming back really, really soon. So my recommendation is, find somebody that needs healing, even if you're not feeling well yourself. Go anoint them with oil and heal them. Get them delivered from their sickness and receive the joy that comes from ministering into the life of another person. Because God, through Jesus, has commissioned you to do exactly that. The Bible said these signs will follow them that believe, and it followed up by saying that God worked with them and confirmed His word with signs following. So He'll do the same thing for you, but you just have to keep doing it. You'd say, sometimes people say, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, that's not your problem. Amen. Your problem is taking the first step out the door to do it. I was speaking with my son-in-law yesterday, and we were just conversing some things about God. And one of the things he said he's running into on the campus where he's ministering is that, you know, a lot of people are feeling and expressing that whatever their problem is, whatever their weakness is, or their sin, or their sickness, that it's something from God to test them, and it's their cross to carry. And he said it just dawned on him that he had to remind them that, no, that's not your cross to carry. That's what Jesus already carried to the cross. Amen. That isn't your cross. Your cross is to be obedient. That's the cross you're supposed to carry, to obey the word. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's where the struggle is. That's where the fight is, because we have all opportunities to fail. But we also have the opportunity to step into the grace of God and conquer through the power of the cross and through the blood of Jesus and through the power of His name. We can walk and step into obedience and see God's grace and His power and His love poured out everywhere that we go. So lay hands on him, heal him in Jesus' name, and go on and find the next one. Amen. It's a good cure to take. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes and lifts burdens. And thank you for supernatural peace that's coming into our hearts and our minds this day as we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's offering time.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Gene.
And I said last week that we would be receiving a special offering this morning along with your regular offerings for next week. Our special guest speaker is Pastor Emilio Alonso from Cuba. So if you remembered to bring that offering with you today, you can just mark that on your envelope that that part or portion is designated for Pastor Emilio, because we want to be a blessing to him while he's here. And if you've forgotten to bring it today, you can put it in next week's offering. It's okay, and just mark it. But we may not mention anything about it when we do it. You can also go online and make a donation there as well. If you do it, just don't put Cuba on anything online, because we have some problems with PayPal when we do that. Praise the Lord. So anyway, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. Today, I just want to speak briefly about what the Bible tells us about stewardship. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In Psalm 50, verse 10, it says, Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. In Haggai 2:8, it says, The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord. So if all of that stuff belongs to the Lord, what does that mean? That means that whatever we have still belongs to the Lord, and we're just managers of it. We're stewards of that grace and of the gifts that he's given us. In 1 Chronicles 29, King David said, when he was going to give a big offering to build the temple, he said, Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and all things we have, all things of your own we have given to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.